Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing to make our way through the octave of Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. We celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the church reminds us of the killing of the holy innocents, the youngest martyrs, right? Those, the story of King Herod and his pursuit and his attempt to try to kill our Lord when he was just a baby. And it's so interesting. The church reminds us in this week, and I've been talking about it, you know, since Monday, the church in her wisdom puts before us, as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate in this octave, these 8 days, puts martyrs before us. Isn't that interesting? We celebrated the great gift of Jesus' coming. The gift giving is a symbol, you know, the gifts we give to our loved ones and this time of offering things for others. You know, it's a way of our participating and sharing in a very small way in the message of what the Father has done for us, giving us the gift of his beloved Son. But the church is sober. The church is sober in her joy even. You know, she's celebrating with joy the reality of the coming of Christ, but she reminds us what this is all about and the cost that it will require of everyone who confesses Jesus' name. It doesn't always happen in this world, but for many it has in history. And at various times in history, the kingdom of darkness rises up against the church, and the church is persecuted. And the church experiences the passion of our Lord. And it's going to happen again. And then the catechism is so clear. It talks about in the final coming of the Lord in paragraph 672. It says, according to the Lord, the present time that we're living in is the time of the Spirit and of witness. This is the time of the Holy Spirit between the two comings of Jesus. Jesus comes in, you could say, as Pope Benedict has said and Pope Francis, Jesus came in order to give the Holy Spirit. That's another way to describe what the whole Christian story is about, the transfer of life, of God's life, divine life to a people that are under the power of sin and death and without life that's stronger than death. Jesus came to communicate that life to us, and that's the life of the Holy Spirit that we're given at baptism. So we, the church, are living at this time between the two comings of Jesus as a light to the world that doesn't know this is the last hour of history, doesn't know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven and all authority and power belong to him, and that the day of judgment is awaiting the whole human race, and he's going to come again in glory, and his full kingship and lordship will be revealed. And when he comes again, it'll be too late for people who haven't made a decision to follow him and to come and live under his lordship. So, but the catechism goes on. So we're empowered by the Spirit to live as witnesses. Even the innocents, the holy innocents, are witnesses. And they're witnesses now for 2,000 years. They were too tiny, too small, probably to know, obviously, everything that was unfolding. But the moment they were killed, boom, they knew. They knew. Because Christ was there. Because Christ was there to receive them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is the Lord, friends, because he has power over sin and death itself. Death could not hold him down. Death held down every single human being but Jesus. And then those who were connected to Jesus by his life, connected to his sacrifice through the weapon of choice of God the Father, is that the humble, radical, obedient love of his Son would take down the pride of Adam and the pride of Satan that brought about the kingdom of darkness and the enslavement of the human race. But that humility and obedience and love, even to the point of death, would bring down the kingdom of darkness. Everyone who's baptized into Jesus is given what belongs to Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the anointed one. As the Lord Christ, as the Lord, he has all power and authority, as the Lord Christ, that is expressed in the outpouring of the Spirit of God given to this fallen race of people those baptized into Jesus become temples of the living God. And we're empowered to walk in the footsteps not only of Jesus, but of Peter and John and Paul and Saint Stephen, who we talked about on Monday, who bore witness at the cost of his life for the Lord. But the very heavens were opened for him, and the glory of God was shown to him. He was living by faith, and as the worst thing, the worst nightmare any of us could ever want, he's being stoned and killed and rejected by this world, and his life is being taken away. The heavens open, and the promise of Jesus is revealed. He's there at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. All glory and splendor and honor belong to him. And Stephen is consoled and strengthened, and he's about to transition into the presence of the King. It's so beautiful. That's the destiny of witnesses who are moved by the Spirit and live faithfully. And the Catechism goes on. It says this about this time and this hour. It's particularly helpful for us now because of what I've been talking about earlier in the test that we're going through that Pope Benedict XVI described, this anti-Christian creed that's emerged in the world, this that is to disobey it is punishable by being, you know, excommunicated, as it were, from the world, failing to genuflect to the social consensus. There's things that the church believes that she's received directly from Jesus, directly from God the Father, that have been with us from the beginning, really, throughout the whole Old Testament and present to today, that the world now rejects, and the world sits in judgment against God, puts God in the dock, as it were, and points the finger at him and tells him, "You're guilty of what? You're guilty of, you've offended us with your teaching and what you call good. What you call good, we reject as hateful, as bigoted, as wrong. Your insistence that you made us male and female, or that the family as it's constituted, male and female, built on that, your design, we think it's wrong. We not only think it's wrong, we think it's bad. And it's been turned on its head, friends. And what we have to see is there's the deep resistance to God that's in the human heart is being manifested. The weakness of the church, the weakness of its teaching, the restrainer against evil in many ways has been deeply weakened. And humanity is kind of being flooded by a tsunami of the world, the kings of the earth that are setting themselves against the Lord by taking up a totally different creed and definition of the meaning of life that stands against God's witness to what he's done in his creation and what he's done in his Son. So it's a rejection against God. Whether or not they articulate it that way is beside the point. It's the human heart's resistance to the will of God and the desire of the human heart to suppress the truth about God, God's rightful authority and God's rightful claim. We had a Bible study as a staff recently, and one of our team members just honestly was reflecting, was talking about this, a really strong passage in the Gospel of John. Let me see if I can get it here without delaying too much of the show, because it's significant. From chapter 3, it's where Jesus is saying, he said, he bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. That is the testimony of Jesus, or the testimony of John for that matter. And he who receives his testimony sets his seal that God is true. The testimony of Jesus, when someone receives it, is the acknowledgement that it is true, that it's God who's there. And he says, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for it is not by measure that he gives the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God rests upon him. And one of our team members was just pointing out, she said, boy, that word obey. She said, I remember times where I would hear some of Jesus' teaching around this and what's required. And that word obey, I hate it. And it's just not a word that the world likes either. And she's exactly right. She's exactly right. Here's the fundamental battle, and it's the battle that's unfolding right now in our society. And when we say the kings of the earth have set themselves against the Lord and his anointed, it just means I just don't want to obey. I don't want to obey the natural law. I don't want to obey the commandments of a God if there is a God. I want to be my own master. I want to be radically free. I want nothing to be imposed on me. I don't want any morality told to me. I'm going to live my own morality. That's what it means to be alive. And I'll define that. Well, these are the words of Jesus. He who believes in the Son of God will have eternal life, life after death, and will escape eternal damnation. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life. The church knows this. And St. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, the very words now that Jesus says here, but the wrath of God rests upon him. St. Peter said, flee the wrath to come. And what's the issue? God's passionate love. He creates all things. The fiery love in the heart of the holy, eternal, awesome God. The human heart, which was made to respond to that love, is fallen. It's wicked. Scripture, Jesus said, there's no one who is good. Why? Because the human heart resists God. And it's filled with sin. That's why Jesus came to give us a new heart. Jesus said, come to me. My heart is humble, Jesus said. Learn from me. I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. I love to obey my Father. It's the food I give. This is what you were made for. You were made to freely, joyfully, totally obey my Father. And I came to show you that. And the great deception is that somehow you can be good apart from that by defining your own reality. And we're blinded to the original state of the human heart, original sin. We're blinded to the wickedness that's in the human heart. And the word of God, this word from Jesus, just cuts right through it. And he can see your heart. And when we die, friends, we will stand before him whose eyes are like a flame of fire. There's no conning him. There's no deceiving him. There's no manipulating him. And there's no way of getting out of what we chose to do with our life. Your heart, my heart, will be exposed in an instant. And what I have made of my life will be revealed. And the key thing is whether I've accepted or rejected what we just celebrated last weekend, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ that's come into the world. That's the key reality. Are you going to welcome the King, the representative of the Father, the creator of all things, who is now definitively establishing the Father's kingdom and his rule? And those who are going to be a part of that kingdom are those who want to imitate Jesus, even to the point of death, imitating him and saying, I want to do the will of God. That is the joy of my life. That defines me. It doesn't humiliate me. It doesn't, take away anything from my life. It fulfills me because he's the source of my identity. He's the source of my life. He's the treasure that's hidden in a field. Friends, that's what's at stake. Let's pray for a grace in this season that we can be radically his, radically obedient to the end. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.